Our first lesson this morning comes from the beginning of the 95th Psalm, and I invite you to read it along with me responsively. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence
with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a king above all gods. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
So I'd like to invite any of our children who are here today to come down to the front with me for a moment. It's okay to admit you're a child. It's all right. Come on down. Appreciate that. Maybe we'll sit over on this side together. Would that be all right? Can we sit on this side? You're still a child? Good, Elliot. I appreciate that. Thanks for claiming it. That's good. So thanks for coming up front, because I wanted to ask you if you all had happened to notice the picture on the bulletin cover today. Did you happen to look at that? Anybody know what a bulletin is? Is that a, you do? Okay, all right, good. Well, I have the picture here. So if we take out the words, what does that picture, what does the line remind you of? Do anybody know? A heartbeat, yeah. So there's kind of two parts to this line, though. What's the second part of the line besides the heartbeat? The church, yeah. So we're trying to put these two things together. But for today, in our theme, but for today, I thought maybe it might be kind of nice for us to take a moment and practice paying attention to the first part before we get to the church. So do you all check your pulse very often? Do you do that? And how do you check it? You do it there? Or here? So maybe if we could put our fingers. Sometimes I'll ask somebody, how's it going today? And they'll say, well, I'm alive. And I'll say, well, that's a good start. And sometimes I think it's kind of good just to sort of start there. What do you notice as you put your fingers on your pulse? Can you feel it beating? Yeah. What else do you notice? Does it feel different on your wrist? No? Same pulse? That's good. What's that? More on one side than on the other? Yeah. What else do you notice? Rhythmic? Yeah. I kind of feel a little calmer when I do this. Do y'all feel calmer? Yeah. Kind of slows me down for a moment. And I can kind of say, well, at least I'm alive, right? Yeah, that's a good start. But it's also a great way to kind of check in with ourselves sometimes. Just see how things are going. Maybe slow down for a moment and appreciate the life that is in us. You know, that the pulse represents. And when we can do that, I think we begin to sort of appreciate kind of the basics of life, that we're alive and we get to enjoy this. We get to see what's going on in life. And it's not always fun, but we get to live through it. And we get to be here, and we get to be here together. So let's pray. God, thank you for the pulse in our bodies. Thank you for the pulse of your faith in our lives. Thank you for the ways in which we can be a part of this life individually and together. Help us to remember that and to take moments to feel our pulse, to feel our life, and to give thanks for the life you have given us. Watch over us now as we hear your word read and proclaimed, that we may hear you speaking to us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up. Our second scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 17. Listen for God's word. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. As I shared in my email on Friday, I am grateful to be back among you after the second part of my sabbatical. I have returned from 2 months of hiking 6 mountains and fly fishing for trout in the Adirondacks, taking 2 kids to college, and walking the last 125 kilometers of the Camino de Santiago in the Galician part of Spain, an area I learned was heavily influenced by Celtic Christianity. Along the way, I met people on the Adirondacks and on the Camino from all around the world, walking for all kinds of reasons. I ate really tasty trout, pie, bread, churros, and even octopus for the first time. This time on the Camino, I walked into the city of Santiago, stood before the massive cathedral built in honor of James the Greater, and felt the power of being among those who had taken that pilgrimage for the last 1,300 years. Just to be clear, though, most of my sabbatical this year was not in my original sabbatical grant. Only taking my kids to college happened the way I had originally planned. Due to the pandemic, my plan has pivoted several times because places are not being open or being so popular that I couldn't travel to them. But that's what happens on a pilgrimage. You may begin the journey thinking you know the path ahead of time or where you will end up, but then life happens, or you encounter something completely unexpected. You go with an open heart and mind to what unfolds along the way, people, places, food, experiences, the presence of God along the journey. Thanks to COVID, that has meant being open to a sabbatical that wasn't 4 months in 1 year, but 4 months over 3 years, and certainly not according to my plans. Although this was initially very frustrating and disappointing to me, it has actually felt more pilgrim-like and allowed me to understand the true nature of pilgrimage, to seek and find places of resurrection and new life for my life and faith. All of this happened because you have been on pilgrimage with me, a pilgrimage of care for the life and ministry we have together. It seems appropriate then that the next vital sign of our theme, the pulse of generosity, is gratitude. I am grateful to you for your commitment to my rest and renewal. I am grateful for your commitment to our ministry. I am grateful for your generosity through the ups and downs of our economy. And as I return, I am grateful that we can share life, faith, and ministry together again. That I can return to you and travel with you through life's ups and downs, twists and turns, planned and unplanned experiences. I am more and more convinced that we are a pilgrim people and a pilgrim church, always seeking to be open to the next place of resurrection and new life. The future unfolds before us. So thank you. In our reading today from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. He was traveling in a region between Samaria and Galilee when he entered a village. 10 lepers approached him in such a way as to keep appropriate social distance. They knew that medically they were contagious, and religiously they were unclean. So you can imagine how isolated they felt. Their town wanted them to stay away from people, and their religion reinforced that by calling them unclean, for contracting leprosy, which probably wasn't even their fault. They had become beggars, crying for help at a distance, which allowed people to easily ignore them and gave the 10 little reason for hope or faith. The best they could do was try to survive, so they approached Jesus at a distance to see if he would be any different than normal people. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, their skin disease cleared up. It's interesting to note that they did what Jesus told them to do. He told them to go to the priests, and they did. Along their walk, they were healed. 9 of them continued on to the priest to get their cleanliness certificate and be restored to the community. They never looked back to Jesus after seeing their smooth skin again. It seems that they just kept walking. Now, some suggest that this shows that they were not sufficiently grateful. Look what Jesus did for them, some say, and look how they responded, just continuing on with their lives. But that kind of makes me wonder about the people who complain like that and how much they need to be thanked for the things they do for others. You see, the 9 did exactly what Jesus told them to do. And when a miracle worker like Jesus tells you to do something, you follow directions. Besides, we're never told what the lepers said, felt, or did after they presented themselves to the priests. One commentator said, it's unlikely that they were irritated by their healing. More likely, they were ecstatic and jabbered nonstop about among themselves as they went to the priests and after that visit. They may have even gone to the pub and celebrated and told everyone within earshot about their healing. And good for them, I say. They got their life back. Isn't that what a gift really is anyway? Something for the other person that changes their life rather than simply a way for the giver to become more important? That's only part of the story that Luke wants us to see. One of the 10 lepers, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. As one commentator wrote, this leper unleashed a torrent of gratitude. He praised God with a loud voice, he bowed at Jesus' feet, and he thanked Jesus. Luke tells us that this particular leper was a Samaritan, which in his gospel is a way of saying, look what foreigners see that insiders don't. Look what insiders miss about life that outsiders really see. And what he saw led him to disobey Jesus' command, or at least put it on hold and return. That's what we're meant to see. He turned back. He returned to the scene of his old life as a leper, but now he returned whole. I think Jesus did more that day for the 10 lepers than 9 of them realized. But the one fully embraced it. In his book, Sacred Earth, Sacred Soul, which we'll be discussing on Sunday evenings, author John Philip Newell writes that Celtic Christianity offers us a way of seeing that is based on what the soul already deeply knows, that both the earth and every human being are sacred. But we suffer from soul forgetfulness. We have forgotten who we are and have fallen out of true relationship with the earth and with one another. He says the path to well-being is not about becoming something else other than ourselves or about acquiring a spiritual knowledge that is essentially foreign to us. It is about waking up to a knowledge that is deep in the very fabric of our being. The 10th man returned to Jesus because Jesus woke him up to who he really was. After years of being told he should be defined by his illness and kept at a distance to beg, after years of religious messages that told him that he was unclean, unworthy, even unhuman, I would imagine that the leper began to believe those messages and went to sleep to what was deepest and true about him. that he was made in the image of God, that he was good, and that all of life was filled with the sacred, including him. That day when he returned to Jesus to share his gratitude, that was the day he woke up again, not just to being healed, to his healing, but to his well-being. It's no wonder that he praised God with a loud voice and bowed himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He wasn't just healed. He was alive with gratitude pulsing through his life, and it was gratitude that enlivened his faith. In her retreat entitled Virtual Celtic Pilgrimage, the Wisdom of the Irish Saints, Christine Paintner shared the following about gratitude. She said, "Gratitude is giving ourselves over shifting our fundamental belief from thinking we are owed things in life to a sense of everything is a gift. Gratitude is giving ourselves over to shifting our fundamental belief from thinking we're owed things in life to a sense of everything is a gift. That's why we ask you to give to our ministry. Yes, we need to pay bills. Yes, we need to take care of our staff. Yes, we want this building and the good work it does to go on. But what underlies all of that is the belief that everything is a gift, including every person and all of creation. And it's our gratitude for that gift that enlivens our faith, both as individuals and as a church. Gratitude helps us to be more alive to the amazing gift of life all around us and in us. This summer, my family returned to the lake in Ontario, where we have vacationed for the last 26 years, and Tammy has been going there since she was in the womb. COVID had kept us away for the last 3 years. During our week, we visited our artist friend, Joanne Pickett. She's the potter who made our communion set. As we were talking, Joanne shared that she had recently reread the reflection I wrote about her husband, Pat, for his memorial service. Pat died 6 years ago after a painful struggle with cancer. Long before he got sick, however, Pat and I had built a friendship around Canadian beer and politics and religion, which is quite ironic since Pat had been hurt by the church and wanted nothing to do with it. I wasn't a pastor in disguise as a friend. I was Pat's friend, and he was mine. And one day a year, we got together, talked late into the night, and drank local beer. 2016 was the last time Pat and I shared a beer together. Cancer was weakening him by the day, and he was basically bedridden. Yet all Pat could do was talk about how grateful he was for the care he was receiving and how good it made him feel. He was grateful for the retired prison guard who drove him to treatments twice a week. He was grateful to the foundation that covered all of his expenses not covered by medical insurance. He was grateful to his neighbors for bringing food over all the time. He was overwhelmed by the care people gave him, which allowed his last days to be filled not with pain and agony alone, but with gratitude and appreciation for the life he had been given. And so he was grateful to be able to sit in the sun on his screened-in porch and enjoy the amazing flowers and vegetable gardens his wife created when she wasn't in her studio. And as we shared a local brew, he was even grateful for beer. That was the last time Pat and I saw each other. It was the only time we ever hugged. I left him feeling very sad that day. I also left overwhelmed by how his gratitude kept him going and made him alive in ways that cancer could not destroy. But I stand before you today to say, I don't want to wait until some disease affects my life to be grateful. I don't want to wait until the end of life to see that life is a gift. I want you and me to remember what is most important about us, what we know in the very fabric of our being, when the noise of life calms down, when we have space to listen and pray, sing and be church together, that you and I are made in the image of God, and that we carry the spark of the divine within us. And when we forget that, it's our job as church to help each other remember. It's interesting what Jesus said to the man at the end of our story. He doesn't say, go show yourself to the priest a second time. He says, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Maybe that man didn't need the approval of the priest any longer. Gratitude had revealed something far deeper in him, how truly sacred he already was. If we can do that for one another as a church, through life's ups and downs, through the plans and disruptions, through bags of food, Bible and book studies, through addressing hard issues in life together, through gatherings around food and coffee, through loving our children and youth, through mission trips and gardens and with this building, if we can help each other remember who we are as God's beloved children and how incredibly blessed we are, then we too will be living a life full of gratitude and pulsing with generosity. Amen.